Good afternoon.
I'm Hiroshi Horikawa. I'm a senior pastor of this church. Those who don't know me, I'm not the oldest, but I'm a senior. Kevin is the oldest. okay. Today, I'd like to preach from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Let me read from verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to the time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus often used what was taking place around him as an opportunity to teach a spiritual lesson. Remember, as he walked with his disciples, he told his disciples to look at the fields because they were white unto harvest. He used that as an opportunity to encourage his disciples to pray for more laborers. As Jesus observed money being given in the temple, he saw a poor widow give a few pennies. And from that scene, he taught his disciples a lesson about sacrifice. In our text today, Jesus uses his surroundings as a background for a great message. Let's take a minute to look at what is taking place in Jerusalem on this day. Chapter 7:2 tells us that Verse 7:2 tells us that the Feast of the Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of the three great feasts of the Jews. All the adult Jewish males were to come to Jerusalem. The Feast of Tabernacles occurred during the month of September on our calendars, which means around this time. It was at the close of the harvest and was the time of celebration. It was at the it was also a feast of commemoration. During the feast, the Jewish people were to remember the 40 years that their forefathers spent in the wilderness when they were out of Egypt. To commemorate, the Jewish people constructed tents from palm, willow, and myrtle trees. They bound the wood together to form the tent with gold, silver cords. The tents were set up all around Jerusalem at the temple, in public places, in the fields surrounding the city, even on the flat roofs of their homes. Interesting. It is said that these tents dotted the fields surrounding Jerusalem. The Jewish people would dwell in these tents for the entire 8 days of the feast. It's kind of like a outfield recreation, camping kind of thing. I heard some Jews in even in United States, they do this custom on their own home. I've never seen in Japan though, except the camp field. The Jewish people would dwell in these tents for the entire eight days for the feast. They would take them down each day and carry them with them wherever they went throughout the day. Interesting. Like what their forefather did. What was the significance of that tents? It was to remind them of the 40 years spent wandering in wilderness where they dwelt in tents because they had no permanent dwelling. This should remind them of the unbelief of their forefathers because they, the first spies tried to get in the promised land. They reported there are our enemies are too strong, we cannot beat those guys. So God gave them 40 years, kind of like a 40 years camping punishment. And you have to learn how to obey God. So there was also something else that took place each of the day, the feast, which is of significance to the message that Christ delivers. At the first dawn of the day, the priest sounded a long, high-pitched blast upon their silver trumpets, and the anthem trumpets, and the glad shouts of the people from their booth, their tents, echoing over hill and valley. Welcome the feast day, festal day. Then the priest dipped from the flowing waters of the Kidron, and a Kidron, a flagon is kind of bottle of water, and lifting it on high while the trumpets were sounding. He ascended the broad steps of the temple, keeping time with the music with slow and measured tread, chanting meanwhile, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem," Psalms 122:2. He bore the bottle to the altar, which occupied a central position in the court of the priests. Here are two silver basins, basins, with a priest standing at each one. The bottle of water was poured into one, and a bottle of wine into the other. And the contents of both flowed upon the sacrificial altar. This display of the consecrated water represented the fountain that at the command of God had gushed from the rock to quench their thirst of the children of Israel. Then the jubilant strains rang forth. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water and out of the well of salvation. Isaiah 12:2-3. The Feast of Tabernacles were a joyous festival event. There was much rejoicing, music, dancing in the street. It is against this background that Jesus stands up in the temple and shouts his words. You see, as Christ looked out over the tents that dotted the landscape, which were a reminder of the unbelief years earlier, Christ realized that they still did not believe. Even his own brethren did not. As Christ saw all the festivities taking place, the music blaring, the singing, the dancing in the tent, he saw the emptiness that still plagued the human hearts. This is the contrast, right? The people are dancing, singing, having joys. But from the point of Jesus, his eyes, his spiritual eyes, they are still in the wilderness. They don't know about the truth. They need true water. So notice the first word that this is kind of a summon of Jesus Christ. He said, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, Jesus called, if any man thirst, bodily thirst is notoriously the most painful sensation to which the frame of mortal man is liable. Read the story of miserable sufferer in black hole at Calcutta. Ask anyone who has traveled over desert plains under the tropical sun. Yeah, what any old soldier will tell you is the chief want of wounded on a battlefield. Remember what the crew of ships lost in mid-ocean, tossed for days in boats without water, go through. Mark the dreadful words of the rich man in the parable. Luke, sent Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16:24. The testimony is unbearing. There is nothing so terrible and hard to bear as thirst. If physical thirst can cause such agony, then how much more does the thirst of the soul, thirst of spirit? The souls of people are thirsty. Thirsty in spite of relationships, thirsty in spite of riches, thirsty in spite of recreation, thirsty in spite of recognition, thirsty in spite of religion. The soul is thirsty, but it can only be quenched by the Lord. The summons, the invitation is for those who are thirsty. Anybody, those who are thirsty, Jesus said, it is all inclusive of anyone who thirsts. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is the promise. Number two, notice the source. Jesus said, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus called and invite and drink from me. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And the rock was Christ. The source which quenches spiritual thirst, which fills spiritual emptiness, has always been Christ. He is today still the only source which can fill our empty cup of soul. Some years ago in South America, a crew of Peruvian sailors headed up to Amazon River came upon a strange sight. It was like a scene from Twilight Zone. A Spanish ship was anchored off the coast, And all the sailors were stretched out weakly on the deck of the ship. As the Peruvian drew closer, they saw that the Spanish were in the terrible physical condition. They looked the picture of death itself. Their lips parched and swollen. They were literally dying of thirst. "Can you help you?" shouted the Peruvians. The Spanish cried out, "Water! Water! We need fresh water." Peruvian sailors, surprised at this request, told them to lower their buckets and help themselves. The Spanish sailors feared that they'd been misunderstood. They cried back, "No, no, we need fresh water." But they received the same reply from the Peruvian to lower their buckets and help themselves. They finally did lower their buckets into the ocean waters, and when they brought the buckets on deck, they discovered to their amazement fresh water. What happens? They had quite trying. There at the mouth of Amazon River, anchored for days, too far from the land to see the coast, but not too far from the mouth of the river. So they had fresh water in abundance. Understand? They thought they are still in the ocean, but it's in Amazon River. It's too wide, so they saw that they are still in the ocean, but they're in the Amazon River. So they just lower the bucket and drink. It's fresh water. The source of abundant spiritual water was close by multitudes that come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. All you have to do is realize that fresh water is here, right close to you, Jesus Christ. All you have to do, just lower your bucket. Get the water from Jesus. Number three, notice the satisfaction. In Samaria, Jesus met a woman at the well, though she came there to draw buckets of water for his family and livestock. There was a thirst in her heart that the water from that well could not quench. Remember the word of Christ to her, John chapter 4, 13 to 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I gave him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Amen. And number four, notice the supply. John 7, 38 to 39. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture had said, streams of living water will flow from within him." But this he meant the Spirit. What is the result of being on Christ? He gives us his Spirit, and we have a continual supply. The word flow means prolonged, never ending. It is endless supply. It is endless supply. The flow from inside. We don't need to go to somewhere to find the water. If you stick in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you live with Jesus, yourself become the well. Which means you can give the water to the others. We used to be like the people in wilderness. Remember the story? This happened in the Feast of Tabernacle. So Jesus wants to tell you are like the people in the wilderness. You are always looking for the well. You're looking for living water. But if you believe in me, if you come to me, you don't need to go around. You don't need to go looking for the well or the water. You yourself become the well. You yourself become the rock, and the living water comes from you. And you can make these people satisfied. In 1942, Captain Eddy, who was by now a civilian, was sent on an inspection mission to the South Pacific. However, the plane had seriously problems, and the plane had no ditch in the Pacific Ocean. 8 men survived the ditching, and they floated for 22 days in the Pacific. They survived on a few oranges and water that was caught in a hut when it rained. There was thousands of miles of water all around him. They were thirsty. The salt water which surrounded them would only make them more thirsty, eventually sick, and then death would follow. This illustration tells us this world, we feel like we are surrounded by the water. We can get some amusement, relaxation, recreation, relationship, money, food. Oh, we have a lot of water, but it's not a fresh water. It's the salt water. Once you drink, you get thirsty and thirsty and thirsty, and finally, you're dead. Jesus Christ is the only one who gives us a true fresh water. We'll never be thirsty. We don't need to go somewhere to find the water if we come to Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. And thank you that Jesus, you call us, you summon us, you invite us. Once we hear your voice and we accept your invitation and come to you, you give us a living water, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in us and become the well in our spirit, and we can supply the true water, a living water, to the others. Lord, please put your eyes on the people around us, our neighbors, our families, our friends. They look like the people in the Feast of Tabernacle. They are dancing and singing and having good time, but they are thirsty, and they need true water. They need your water, Lord. Lord, call them and draw them near to you, Lord, like we did. Thank you so much. We have this true water, this living water in our spirit. We'll never get thirsty spiritually, and we'll never got lost in wilderness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.